Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes we can't get to work. Hello, Joel.
Mark.
Producer Joel is on the phone.
I'm on the line.
This is the second time we've tried this intro because the first one was rubbish.
Oh, it was so bad. I might release it as a bonus episode.
I think, are you tired?
In the middle of the night. I'm quite sleepy, yeah. I've just been to a HIIT class.
Oh, have you? At the gym?
Yeah. It was really, really hard.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never done a HIIT class. I just do legs, bums and tums.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
No, I know. It always sounds really funny when you say
My glutes are aching. Oh, do you want to hear, actually, this, do you want to, I booked a massage the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hang on, I'm just going to take the phone down because I want to read you a text I got. So I can't hear what you're actually saying to me now, Joel. But I think Mark's a really bad comedian. On this app.
A really rubbish comedian.
And then, are you talking?
No.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Were you talking?
No.
It sounded like you were talking, Joel. What did you say when I wasn't
listening? No, I didn't say anything. Maybe you're just getting feedback from the phone call.
Anyway, you did.
Okay. Read the message.
Hang on. I've got to find it first. It said...
That's really, really bad comedian.
Oh, my God. I did not realise how many messages I've got. Comedian. Here we go. It says, hi, Mark. Thank you for the booking at 3:30. Just so you are aware, we do not massage the gluteus area. That was it.
Did you just reply, refund, question mark?
Yeah, I cancelled immediately. Such a weird thing. I guess it gets loads of creepy people coming in. I don't know.
What,
so basically
she's
saying,
out?
I won't wank you off.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. I might put that in my show this year. I think that's really funny.
That is really funny.
Yeah. Last week, Sean McLaughlin, loads of lovely feedback. Lots of feedback about my tax joke that I couldn't get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, Stuart Foreman, friend of the show, former guest of the show, we had a good old chat about it. And he said, so I'll tell you what the joke was.
Yeah.
I don't want to make the tax man suspicious. So this year I'm paying early. It's a £3,000 bill. I've asked if I take £2,000 cash in hand, right? So I thought that didn't work because I don't think enough people are self-employed and they don't know cash in hand's like a bad thing.
Yeah.
But also, technically it's not illegal, which is not something that someone did point out. But what Stuart said was that wouldn't make them suspicious. The joke isn't about making them suspicious.
Mm.
Like paying early, that isn't, if you paid late, that doesn't make them suspicious.
Yeah.
So that's
a bit
confusing. And he said that you should say I've got a £3,000 fine for not declaring my earnings.
Nice. That's good.
I asked if I'd take 2,000 cash in hand.
That's good.
Yeah. Which, in my head, brilliant. Well done, Stuart. Spot on. Tried it last night. Got nothing.
Oh.
Yeah. Disappointing end to that story. But I think that is the best way to do the joke. but I don't think enough people know about the cash.
The ins and outs of
nah. I think tax. So. Little fun fact for you. It's interesting. Interesting fact. We should get a little thing there that we can press up. You press a button. It's interesting fact.
Maybe.
What do you call it? Nah. Probably not.
That was good. Awooga. That was good feedback.
Good feedback. Well done, Stuart. This week. You excited about this week?
Very excited about this week.
Tom stayed. Nah, he went home.
He left.
Hey, that was a fun one, wasn't it?
That was good.
Shout out, Joel.
It was good.
Tom stayed. I mean, what can I say? One of the best comics on the circuit. Or like someone I really look forward to working with.
He was great. Having listened to the episode, he was great.
He's one of those people that's just funny. Do you know what I mean? Even if he hadn't got good material, I'd find him funny. But he has got good material, so...
He's laughing. And so are the audience.
Yeah. Shall we just crack on with it, Joel?
Let's crack on with it.
Here it is. Top stage. Hashtag Awooga.
Awooga.
Yeah, so cool. I've sort of thrown this on you quite sort of last minute. But you said you only done...
It's always weird having a mic in my hand.
Yeah, when I'm really? No even audience. Your job. Oh, right, yeah, I know. I'm your audience, hey. Mate. You've done gigs to one before, haven't you?
Totally.
Yeah.
It's called Edinburgh.
Yeah, I know.
I think you were the guy that was there.
It was me. This has been my dream ever since, just to reenact it. What other podcast did you do? This is the third one. I'm honoured.
Yeah. I did one with a guy named Stuart Goldsmith.
Oh, yeah, comedian.
Yeah, comedian. And then I think the other one I did, I can't even remember. That's how fucked up I was when I walked into that one. But you're okay, because today I'm pretty sober, I guess, because I have to drive.
It's early in the evening. Oh, did you drive?
Yeah, of course, okay. Man. So this may be coherent.
Oh, lovely. So you can't even remember the last one.
Well, I make no apologies for my personality, that's for sure.
So you roughly know what the vibe of this one is.
Well, from what I gather, it's jokes that you think should work.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the audience disagrees with you completely.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes it varies. Sometimes they're just terrible ideas. But usually there's an essence of something in it.
Well, okay.
So are you writing a show at the moment? Oh, we've got our tea coming. Look at this.
This
is a prime example. It's your latte.
You. Latte, it's your huh? Latte. Who's dangerous?
You've changed, mate.
Screw you, milk.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy?
This guy's 50. This guy's relinquishing his party. I'm like an old fighter that won the title, and now I can't beat these young kids
you're the coach
up anymore.
Now. You're the coach.
Yeah, man, I'm the coach. Yeah. That's right. I've become an elder statesman for people who want bad role models.
Look at that. You had the sugar, though.
Of course, man. Of course. I'm more worried about my lungs right now than I am my stomach. Man, all the smoking kills me, man. But who cares?
Who cares?
Okay, so.
I had a smoking joke. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Someone asked me if I wanted to vape. I said, no tar.
No tar.
No tar. There you go. It's not a good one.
No.
That's the vibe, mate. That is this podcast.
Okay. Well.
But you know what? With that one.
It's a one-liner.
Yeah.
It's a one-liner. So those ones are, unless they're really well explained, like that one would take people probably a couple seconds to decide if it's funny. So it has that hang time that when it lands, like it might not fall into the basket, but it looks good while the shot's there, man.
That is exactly it.
Yeah.
So that's like a B joke for me. So if I put it in a set, not strong enough, doesn't hold up against the others. But if someone walks out to go and have a cigarette and I just throw it in, big laugh.
Of course, man.
So I've got those in the locker.
Well, okay.
For the situations like this.
Most of the times that I find the jokes don't go good are down to your personality,
right?
Or how the audience sees you. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that's more dependent on your sort of act?
I think like if you are a guy that's known to be cutesy or whatever, and then all of a sudden you throw in, I don't know, like a See, I'm too terrified of some words that people totally take. But you know the danger ones, man.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want my podcast making headlines.
No, we don't. Not in this day and age. But
thank you.
But I can give you, like, for me, it's like I'll be going talking about being 50 and all that sort of stuff. But when I go into my descent, which I love, because I always love starting off with light humor and then ending up somewhere dark. And it's the problem is that when I get, because they're so expected of the light stuff, and I can give you an example that I'm even doing in this show, but I don't like to back off because I feel that I want that joke to work and I want to have the skill to make a joke like that work.
Yeah.
And what the joke is I argue that about car insurance. Now, okay, the whole point is that a lot of people think that car insurance makes you a safe driver out there. But I argue the point that, I mean, imagine if nobody on that motorway had car insurance. I think we'd all be the safest drivers. Okay.
Oh, that's great.
It is, man. It's fabulous. But that's the light.
Okay.
So we're going to slowly descend.
Oh, so literally
now.
Within the routine. Sorry.
Oh, even done yet.
What I thought you meant was start the set light and the end of your set beat.
No,
but this is
in
the routine.
This is an actual joke.
Oh,
man.
Okay. So, with you. Nice.
So, I mean, like, and so the joke goes, you know, you wouldn't be the maniac driver that you are on the road, knowing that you could hit anybody and it's all okay. And if nobody had car, you'd be freaking out if somebody was driving past you at 57, you know, going, slow down, McFly. You know, everybody loves a McFly reference. And then here's where it goes to the descent, where just don't back off. And I'm like, and you also got to think about it. If you didn't have car insurance, would you speed through a school zone? And of course you wouldn't, because nobody has kill a kid money. Okay, so they're okay still. I mean, think about kill a kid money. Not even Michael Jackson had kill a kid money. He had cover up the kid was sucking on my nipple money. Okay. And then this is where I lose them a lot of the time.
Well, after that bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, and then I like to go, and we really lost probably the greatest pedophile that ever lived. Out of all the pedophiles you wanted to get, that you wanted to grab you. I mean, if you had, I'm not saying that pedophilia, like, but if it comes your way, Michael Jackson was the dude, because, I mean, look at everybody, there's probably people in the audience that have had to suck their uncle's dick and shit, and it was always keep it a secret. But with Michael, you got to play with a monkey, you got to go on an amusement park, he taught you how to dance, he took you around the world, and you weren't really sucking on Michael Jackson's titties. You were actually investing in your future. Because when I look at my life, I wished I could go back in time and suck Michael Jackson's dick. I probably wouldn't be playing Reigate
tonight. And you think that's where you lost them, do you?
Oh, yeah, man. Because it's the fear that the joke might not be funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what people are scared of. They want to laugh at that danger stuff. But, I mean, as soon as you throw out pedophilia, man, because everybody's afraid that they're not going to be a good person.
Yep. And the people they're with won't think they're a good person if they see them laughing at something. Wow. So is that a newish bit? Or is that a bit you've heard?
Of course, man.
This is a really new bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so are you still doing it?
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out how to make it
because it's really
cutesy, man. I want that darkness to feel like you didn't even notice it was dark.
And then, yeah.
And then wave, and then we move into the next.
How many times have you done it?
And it's certain. Oh, Jesus. It's maybe worked maybe three or four times.
And when you say work, the whole bit's flying.
Maybe. And that's the thing that keeps you going.
Yeah.
Because you know it did out of, you know, you've done it like 50, 60 times and 3 times it worked. So you know can do it, but you can't seem to repeat it like all the other ones.
Is this your tour?
Yeah.
So this is people that know what they're, you know, they're coming to see you. They know. So I would have said that's the knees yourself and just a club where they don't know you as well. Do you know what I mean? Well, like they know who you are. They know you're not.
They do, but there's still the problem is that the most of the new older fans will half that one. They'll go, Tom, do you really have to go there? There's the other question. Like you
the
could
first
be talking
joke was
about,
so good.
Yeah, you could be talking about anything, but you decide you're going to go down to a Michael Jackson beat. Of course I am. I'm a comedian. I don't laugh at little kitties spitting out fur balls like normal people. I look by and I go, why are you even laughing at that animal? But it's that fact that we've heard so many jokes, the easier jokes don't it for us anymore. It's like comedy is a gateway drug to harder comedy, you know what I mean? And that's where we're at.
Do you think that would have worked better before that documentary came out? Or do you think that made a difference? Because that's quite
recent.
I think
that joke was inspired by the documentary. Of course it was. I was watching a guy in probably a nicer house than I'm ever going to have.
So that's what you took from it. I love
about,
that.
And showing he's a dance coordinator in Japan and all. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, you know what? If you would have told a small Indian boy who's in the lowest caste system, digging through the garbage in India, that all he had to do was suck Michael Jackson's dick and all this would go away. It's all like relevant, right? So that's why I didn't feel bad for him, you know?
That's a really good angle.
I feel bad for anyone who does, but
him. You're
too old now to go back on it. And it, you know what? In the end, it just shapes your character anyways. I think we like to, because if you can get away with it, it sort of validates you as a comic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's certain ones. Religion's always a big one for me. There was one in the last tour that I never was a real, it was a hit and miss kind of a thing. Yeah. And maybe I'll do it tonight just to show, but
I'll record it.
Yeah. It's like, I had a really good one about how God doesn't look good in the year 2020,
right?
You know what I mean? He doesn't look good. And the problem is that yes, he created everything. I'll go with that. Fine, he created all of it, but then he banged Mary. And if I read my scriptures right, I don't remember Mary giving her consent. So that's kind of like the very first hashtag Me Too movement right there. And then I go, don't get me started on how old I think Mary was. So in the year 2020, if you really look at it, God's like a pedophile rapist. And what I like to say is you don't worship pedophile racists. You can elect them as president or put them on a children's show where they belong. But I mean, these guys are just emulating God. So why are you getting mad at them?
So is that the full bit? Mm-hmm. And then would that sort of, would it vary where the laughs come when you say it's hit or miss?
Yeah. And again, it all comes down to that audience. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Okay. For the other one, if you don't have kids, okay, if you're in that audience and you don't have kids, then the pedophile joke doesn't really affect you that much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You don't take it as seriously. But I think when you're a mom and you got kids and then this guy's talking about that and all of a sudden you can kind of visualize your kids sucking on Michael Jackson's tits.
Yeah, it's
you're
not
like
the...
going, yeah, maybe I would let him do it. As long as they didn't get too serious, you know.
So rather than laughing, they just question him.
That's the problem, man.
What they do in that situation.
I think people with more responsibility have to seem more noble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like for for, and then if you do that, the religious joke, I mean, anyone who goes to church will find that really blasphemous.
Yeah.
But here's the other question too, is because I'm not looking for fame, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? To me, it also doesn't matter if they walk out of that room.
Yeah.
Because I'm only looking for the ones that will stay and enjoy that thing. I don't want everybody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not looking for that. That's never been my big goal. And I don't think it's most comedians' big goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you want that audience to appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
What... So would you, when those bits aren't flying, would you move them in the set to like a different place, like later once the audience get to know you or
yeah.
So you just, and it just, does it?
Well, I'm not starting off with it. I mean, if you're going to really go, you got to have your likability factor like off the charts before you start banging on about racism and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
have to kind of trust you, man, you know, yeah. and.
But what I like, so you will persevere with it because you know as a bit, it's a solid bit.
And I like it.
Yeah, and you're an experienced comic, so you know that all the technical side of that joke, it's funny.
Oh,
it just depends what they think. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, then that's the difference to whether it works or not. So you stick to your guns.
Of course, man. Yeah, because you got to... If you keep doing it over and over in different ways, you're eventually going to find the path that you're going to find what you did in those three shows that it actually killed it. And then all of a sudden you feel good because now you're destroying with a joke that shouldn't work, which actually makes your ego as a comedian go up going, look what the fuck I just did, man. I had a fucking old lady with three babies laughing at fucking, you're like going, perfect, man. And I mean those are the jokes that I guess, oh, that's even interesting. That's the first time. Those are the jokes that I think comedians like the most because they are the most challenging.
Yeah
they are. And I mean, for I don't know who other comedians' heroes are. Do you know what I mean? Like, but mine are probably the same as yours, you know? Like, I'm enthralled by Doug Stanhope.
I am
enthralled by Patrice O'Neill. I'm enthralled by Lenny Bruce. I'm enthralled by these guys that throw out the stuff with such precision. I mean, Doug Stanhope, to me, would be the master. If you tried to take his material and put it in your set, I don't think you could do it, man.
Definitely not.
No, man, you'd be screwed. But then there's...
Do you think there's no one could do his? Or do you think...
I don't... Well, I think guys like Patrice would be able to and all them. But you want to talk about jokes that destroy you. I was on Twitter... And I watched Ari Schaefer, man. Ari Schaefer, I guess from what I understand, anytime somebody dies, he does a disgusting joke about them dying.
Right.
So all the people before Kobe Bryant, nobody gave a shit about. And then he did a joke about Kobe Bryant. And all of a sudden, now he's got death threats. His things is canceled. So
is what canceled?
Well, this is only hearsay. Okay. I don't want to put any. I love all comedians. Even Ari screwing up, it doesn't bother me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know where that comes from. I don't believe he's that hateful of a person.
But
you don't know him, there's a joke that horribly didn't work to the point where he lost his career and he's had to go into hiding.
I need to get him on this podcast.
Well, thank God I haven't wrote a joke like that yet, man.
But you'd stick with it, though, wouldn't you?
Probably the worst it could possibly be, man. Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
So have you ever had a joke or a bit that you did just have to get rid of because it just, like you just, it was too much or it just wasn't getting consistently not enough?
So many, man.
Oh, really?
So many. And I wish, the problem is when you ask me that question, because I get rid of them, I can't.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're, you just wipe them out.
They're gone. But isn't that really part of the process?
Yeah. So is that in,
I mean? Like,
so is that in new material nights? You'll just try a bit and
every time, Matt. And
yeah.
I'm not a. The one thing I'm not afraid of is dying.
Yeah.
That is. As soon as you can get over that fear.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you can actually work on making those jokes great because mm-hmm. you know they're gonna bomb, man. You know,
yeah.
Okay. Like there's
you can
another
get,
one.
I think you can get better at bombing.
To get,
can you?
To get going.
Oh, okay.
And the one that was the toughest that I finally made work,
right,
was when I started talking about what racism was, because nobody wants to hear a white successful comedian talk about racism, right? But yet that's what this job is all about, right? So
yeah.
So the joke is, from what I understand about racism, is that you have a bad experience with somebody from a different culture. And you think that everybody from this guy's culture is like this fucking asshole. And it's when I give the example, because it's the name that I use that people have to hold back and
okay.
wonder. So I go, say Pupinder.
Okay.
Because it's, number one, to me, it's a funny name.
Yeah.
Number two, it's pretty stereotypical funny name. So
yeah.
So you're riding that edge of, oh, this is easy. He's using the word Pupinder.
Yeah.
So now Pupinder comes over and he's straight off the boat from India, but Pupinder is an asshole. He doesn't keep his yard clean. He plays his music till 5 a.m. He's a fucking dick.
Yeah.
But do we judge all of Pupinder's culture on Pupinder? And here's where the twist comes, where I finally got it to work.
Okay.
So then I switched it up. That's how the, and then there was another, but this is what I added in the middle. Then I said, okay, let me give you another example. Let's say you never met white people. Let's say you never met a white guy in your fucking life. And I'm the first white guy you meet. You'd think white people were fucking awesome. But I'm, fortunately, our track record says different, you know. But do you judge all white people on me? Of course not. This is where it went beautiful, because it tied up now, because they didn't laugh at Pupinder.
Yeah.
They can't, but they can laugh at the white guy is awesome.
Yeah.
And I go, like, there's white people I hate. Of course there are. My next door neighbor's white. Kevin, he complains about my yard, me and my music being up too loud. Me and Pupinder hate this cunt. And all of a sudden, everything goes back to normal,
yeah.
Man. You know, so it was the ride.
Oh, that's amazing. That's brilliant. There's so much there.
Yeah, so that's what I think.
Because you really wrong-footed me, because I thought you were going to say that you're an asshole.
Right.
I thought that was the example. So when you said awesome, wrong-footed me, big laugh.
Yeah, man.
And then in the end, you end up going back
and bringing Pupinder back into it where it's safe.
But also, what I thought you were going to do is give an example, self-deprecating,
yeah,
and be an example of you being an arsehole, but you end up doing that in the end as well. So it's like a double twist.
It's awesome, isn't it?
So,
but
so
it
before,
took a little while to make that joke work.
Yeah.
I mean that. It really did. It took like nobody wants to hear me talking about a guy named Pupinder. Trust me.
You could really feel the tension as soon as you said the name.
Oh, my God, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But the question is, so that's a new territory for a lot of comedians, especially, I hate to say it, especially, God, I just hate having to go into that, but especially in this day and age now,
yeah,
where what your skin color will dictate what you can get away with.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's, you know as well as I do, comedy has progressed,
mm-hmm,
or has it progressed,
yeah,
to where we're actually being taken quite seriously now, which is a scary prospect. So, but to go back to, you know, so there was a time that I could talk about anything. You could talk about being, yeah, in China. You could talk about the Chinese culture, but now if you talk about the Chinese culture, you have to be really careful, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Or
with that last joke, before you added the middle bit, did you just go straight to bringing Pupinder back? I feel weird saying that.
It's weird, right?
Coming back, so you go straight to the people meet. You know white guys that you don't like.
Yeah.
And then, so you go straight to that bit.
I had to switch it up because as soon as you go from, like I said, as soon as you go from this guy, do you judge all people on Pupinder's culture? Of course not. And then before, there's this white guy that I knew, before the WoW came in, it's,
yeah,
like, you think I like all white people? Of course I don't. Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't like him, but fucking... And do I want to burn Kevin's house down? Of course. Do I hate all white people? Of course I don't. Do I want to burn Kevin's house down? Of course I do. But I can't because it's attached to mine. So it was like, it was just missing that little,
yeah,
piece in the middle.
But you knew. You knew it was, yeah, the bit was there.
Yeah, but do you notice all of the jokes? I bet you, of your podcast, most of the jokes that don't work involve the sauciness of the joke, or is it just bad jokes?
No, it's you. I'd say, yeah, yeah. I think it's generally how it's taken,
mm-hmm,
is usually is the main issue why someone would get. I mean, with my stuff, it's really varied because they're wordplay. So if I think of wordplay,
yeah,
I have to see if I can work out a way to make it not shit.
Right.
And if not, then it goes in the bin. Basically, so minds have quite varied, but with the guests, that it tends to be similar sort of territory that, you know, you've got to be careful now and,
of course,
getting the right angle and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really common now.
Yeah, and so we've become. I mean, the reason this podcast is even here is because it's a minefield,
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
If you tried to do this podcast in 1970, like they would go, "What are you talking about?
Jokes that don't work.
They all work, man." Yeah. Yeah, there's one about this.
I wonder what ones wouldn't work back then.
Nothing.
Is there nothing at all?
Because they all the big. That's kind of funny, actually, because they brag. Whenever you hear the old comics, they always brag that, you know, nobody took anything serious back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's their big fallback point of, you know, yeah, it was racist, it was homophobic, but we didn't mean nothing by it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and maybe they didn't. I wasn't there. You know what I mean? But but now, it's like you say, now you want to talk about jokes that you couldn't say.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you had Bernard Manning on the show, I'll tell you a whole bunch of things.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, his whole
but to him,
his whole act.
They would have been harmless and funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
because
he was good,
he doesn't
very
have the same mentality.
No. Yeah, he's very good at telling them.
Yeah, and not only that, like I say, I mean, this is, we're in now 3 decades of comedy for me. So I've seen everything from Evening at the Improv.
I don't even know what that is.
Of course you don't, because you weren't there in 1980.
Where was
man.
This?
That was the very first pretty much the very first daily comedy show.
Wow.
Same as your Gotham City now.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it was
yeah.
the original.
Where was it?
It was in California. It was at the wow. Improv with Bud Friedman. Mm. Bud Friedman's evening it, and every one of us wanted to get on it for $200 or whatever they paid to sell your soul, but you got exposure.
He says 1980.
And, yeah, and you guys, this generation makes fun of the hackiness
yeah.
of that generation, and then all of a sudden, the 90s and the 2000s came, and it was all of a sudden it was Jack D's Live at the Apollo yeah. started to rule everything. Mm-hmm. And now Jack D's gone, and now I don't even know what this landscape is, but that's kind of the fun of it too.
Can
this old warrior do his Pupinder jokes? See if he can't fool this woke society.
So what were you like in 1980 when you started?
Huh?
Like when you started, what were you like? Because did you have...
Oh, I don't... Huh? I was really bad, dude.
But was it similar sort of... Because Doug Stanhope, when did he start?
He started around the same time I did.
Oh, okay.
I would guarantee he might have even been after me. I'm not sure.
So there wasn't anyone then for you like that for you to look at?
Huh?
So there wasn't really anyone for you to look at like that to influence you? So who, like...
Well, we had, like I said, we had weekly TV. We didn't have the same... Facebook, every time I open up a page, the greatest joke I've ever seen comes and yeah. makes me question my ability as a comedian. Then I got to remind myself that's probably the only good joke he's got.
Yeah.
It's out there. Probably going to sell out theaters on a 3-minute bit. But it also makes this generation a better generation of comics because you're bombarded by it. And if you study comedy, that's your yeah. classroom, man. Your
yeah,
classroom
yeah.
is wondering why Paul Smith's getting all this stuff. Mm. He's the newest thing that you've ever seen. And then you study that, you go, oh, maybe if I do that or whatever. But you've got, like, I mean, even me now putting jokes on little 1-minute jokes on Twitter because of the attention span
yeah.
of this. But if you're being bombarded by awesome jokes every day,
yeah.
and that in your head is the standard you have to keep, that's the difference. We didn't have that same, like, people would die on Evening at the Improv, and we'd go, at least we're better than that guy.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, there's no way I can be that good. So we had a little more confidence.
Yeah.
But you guys got to get better faster. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the weirdest part.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I don't know if I'm diverting from the actual...
No, it's interesting. Yeah. But that's the thing. These people can get away from all these amazing jokes by listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Because this is the idea. It's the opposite.
Yeah. Is this also...
Yeah, we're pretty much done. It's also what?
What's that? Is it... Yeah, but is this like... Is it also the country that you're in would dictate what you could... get away with
yeah.
too.
Mm.
I bet you I would never be able to get away with the God joke if I was in the Bible Belt
yeah.
in America. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if
yeah,
I was
yeah.
down there calling
oh, no
God
chance.
A pilot,
oh, no, you get arrested.
Any amount of skill I'd have.
Yeah.
But here, at least English people are like, whoa,
yeah,
you
yeah,
bet
yeah.
he is. And then, or you go to Canada, and Canada is the most PC one.
Right.
Some dude made fun of a lesbian or something, and next thing you know, he's in court.
Really?
Another slander yeah. at a comedy show, and you're like, oh. Fucking terrifies a comedian to know.
But then if you're putting stuff online as well, that goes to the whole world, doesn't it? So,
mm-hmm.
So if you put that God bit online, that would probably make its way to the people that don't, and they'll let you know.
As soon as Next Up Video relinquishes my DVD on there, you betcha I'm going to put that up there.
Yeah.
I need controversy.
Yeah.
Because sometimes those jokes can also make you super famous. Because if nobody's telling yeah. those risky jokes, all yeah. of a sudden you're the dangerous
yeah.
guy.
And all the people that
see that.
And all the people that, so loads of people might hate it, but the people that do like it, mm. they'd all swarm. 'Cause it's,
As long as you know what, as long as you're not looking to fill out arenas every day, and you can get by with going, hey, no matter where I go, at least 200 retrobates will show up, and we can, you know, we can laugh at some pretty fucked up shit.
Oh, cracking!
You know.
Should we call that there? Because I think they're going to do a sound check, and that's good as gold. Thanks, mate.
Thank you
I would
so
love
much
to have longer,
me,
but they want to do a sound check, so I think we're annoying them.
No worries, man.
That's great. Thanks,
I'm going to do all three of those jokes tonight.
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait. And what I'll do is I'll report back in the intro and the outro.
Okay.
About how
we'll
they
see
went.
What they do tonight, man.
Well, it depends how many people, because it looks like it could be quite a posh one. This one, I'm quite excited.
I see. That's the one thing about not being English. You guys walk into a room and you go, "Oh my God, it's middle class." I can't say that. I walk into a room going, "Meh, another crowd." you guys are. Oh, they're working class. They'll like the dirty stuff because they don't. They're not educated. Yeah. All of a sudden, these guys went to Oxford. I gotta up my game for some reason. And me and like whatever just another audience
the same thing
yeah man.
Nice thanks cool. mate.
Tom Stade Stademeister General, there he is.
He was
good,
great.
Good episode,
really good.
Yeah, cracking stuff. Any feedback at Jokes of Mark on social media?
Yes.
Come to my show, Leicester Comedy Festival. The last one got cancelled, so I've moved it to this Sunday at 5:30, Joel.
5:30, what a time. What a time to laugh.
Place to be. Get tickets and get the links on my Instagram.
Cool.
At Jokes with Mark. Oh, we've had loads of lovely reviews on Apple
We have.
Podcast.
Keep them coming.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
Please keep those coming. Yeah, lovely 5-star reviews.
Makes us
Let
so
us know
happy.
What you think.
We always send them to each other and say, look at that. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's nice, isn't
nice.
It?
Yeah.
Nice to know you're not wasting your time.
It's nice because otherwise, mostly we're just slagging each other off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too right. I don't know. When you listen back, this might sound okay, but it feels rubbish.
It's petering out. Peter out. That's a good comedy
Tom
character.
Tom stayed. Peter's gone out. Oh,
bye,
no.
Go away.
Oh, this is, we've got to finish, haven't we?
Yeah. Well,
big
yeah.
Hashtag awooga to all you listeners. Sorry for awooga. This rubbish intro and outro. The podcast was quality though, right?
So all in all, an average experience.
Yeah, 5 stars, please.
Bye.
Anyway, see you later, everybody. See you next week. Hopefully, Joel and I will be in the same room next week. It's always better when that's the case.
It's nice.
I think so. Hashtag awooga.
Awooga.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.